This is TWiT.
Many of us have spent a good period of time at home during this pandemic or in some locale doing our work. And with that has come a rise, of course, in the sort of accessible nature of being able to work from home. And there have been some shifts, some focus on some of the accessible requirements and needs of folks when using the different applications that we've all been using to connect and communicate. But it's one of those things where you look at it and you say, okay, is this happening because it's what we all need and not just what a community of people need? And that's why things are changing. And with things going back to the way they once were, slowly but surely, there is a question of whether the focus will shift away from this accessibility. And so to shine a light on this topic and to talk about what has changed, what hasn't changed, and what folks are hoping will change going forward is CNET's own Abrar Al Hiti. Welcome back to the show. We are so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be back.
Yes. Thank you for, you know, for being here, of course, but also for writing this piece, because when I came across it, it was one of those things where some of the little bits and pieces I've thought about before, but there were some things that I hadn't considered before. And I think it's important that everybody is aware of the different concerns that folks have, and especially in terms of accessibility. It's a way for everybody to be on a level playing field. And so I think that this piece does a good job of talking about that, especially given kind of, you know, your overall observation and the observation of these advocates, which is the observation that the attention is being paid right now because of the pandemic, but was not necessarily there wasn't as much attention on this before. So can we talk a little bit about kind of what the pandemic has brought in terms of good changes and what it has shined a light on in terms of accessibility?
Absolutely. You really hit on this well, because, you know, a lot of us have been benefiting from remote work. We've all been benefiting from using Zoom to connect with people when we aren't able to be there physically. And these are accommodations that people in the disability community have asked for years, and they've been denied those accommodations because people have said it's too hard. And then the pandemic rolls around and we see that it's not too hard. We very quickly were able to roll out these accommodations for everybody, in the sense that we were all able to work from home and we were all able to connect from home. That technology is there. That capability is there. And so those excuses that had been given in the past were really just not very good ones, because we clearly debunked those immediately. And so, you know, we saw things like automated closed captioning rollout on all Zoom accounts, including free ones. That's a big deal. One of the sources I talked to who is blind said that Slack became more compatible with his screen reader, so he was better able to access his messages. These are all things that should have been there to begin with, but the pandemic kind of was the impetus for, okay, well, we can't deny people these abilities anymore. I mean, both people who are disabled, people who aren't, you know, everybody needs these accommodations. But it's just, it's bittersweet, because people with disabilities have been asking for this for so long. And so we need to make sure that going forward, these accommodations remain for everybody, but particularly for people who really, really depend on them.
Yeah, the story about the individual who was walking to work and almost fell into a pit in a construction zone. And at that point said, you know what, I need to be able to work from home. And the idea that it takes that to happen, or a global pandemic to happen, to get people to sort of move on that point, is really, that is, you know, the negative aspect of this. And I totally understand, you know, the conversation about, yes, this is all good and we're very happy about this, but why did it take this in order for people to start to pay attention to this? And then, now we're concerned, what happens when we go back to the way things were? Are people not going to be paying attention anymore? Are people not going to be focusing on this? So you talked a little bit about, you know, working from home, being something that, you know, everybody got to do because of the pandemic. It was sort of a forced on thing. But with that came some challenges with video conferencing software, with some of the other tools that were available. And some shifts have been taking place, but there are still a lot of applications out there that don't have the necessary tools. So could you talk a little bit about both the positive changes that have taken place in some of these common tools that we use, and then some of the tools that maybe are still lacking, or overall kind of some of the areas that accessibility advocates are focusing on to improve this technology?
Absolutely. So I talked about how Zoom rolled out automated closed captioning on all accounts, but a lot of people say that, you know, as we all know, these are all AI generated and AI is not always accurate. So you might think, oh, it's, you know, 95% accurate or whatever, it'll be fine. But if it misinterprets even a few words, it can completely change the meaning of what's being said. So a lot of advocates have said that human captioners are what's needed so that somebody, a real life person, can provide these captions, and the person on the other end who may have hearing loss can directly communicate with that person. If they have questions, if they have input, they can be a part of that meeting. They can be a part of that conference. And so there's change that's needed there. We also saw a lot of kiosks and touchless options pop up, but a lot of those devices are not fully accessible either. So people who are blind might not be able to use that touchscreen if there isn't the right, you know, tech in that system. So as businesses think about these things, think about, you know, the future and what digital offerings they'll have, they need to think about all of their customers. We also saw restaurants have QR codes on their tables so that, you know, you don't have to touch a menu. You just scan the QR code on your phone and then it pulls up the menu on your phone. And sometimes that's great because a blind person's screen reader can interpret that menu, but sometimes it's a PDF and the screen reader can't do anything about that. And so with every technological innovation we come up with, we have to make sure that everybody's able to access these things and that it's not an afterthought. Because if you make it an afterthought, by default, you're excluding millions of people.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things that folks aren't necessarily considering at first. Because, you know, we, by our very nature, it is, you know, it's built into our brains to protect us and those, you know, that are in our immediate vicinity. And with that comes kind of a protective layer that we have of not taking on everybody's concerns, everybody's dangers, everybody's needs, unless we open our minds up to that and sort of lead with empathy. And I think that part of the way that we lead with empathy is through understanding and through education. And that is kind of one of the things that I wonder about with this is how folks are, because I don't think that the onus should be on folks who need this these accessible technologies to do the educating. But oftentimes it does take advocacy networks and advocacy groups. So could you talk a little bit about what advocates are doing to kind of talk about this technology and to try and keep things continuing to be more and more accessible as we move forward?
There's a really cool organization called Teach Access, and this is a collaboration between industry partners and university faculty and disability advocacy organizations. And this essentially, you know, they work to promote and implement tech accessibility in all products, because that's kind of the right collaboration you need. You need to talk to companies, you need to talk to faculty, and, you know, all of that, everything that they, you know, come up with by creating these connections is taught to students in engineering schools and boot camps, so that when these students enter the workforce, they you know how to build an accessible product. They don't just come into this company and know nothing about accessibility. That's where you really have to start. You have to start at the beginning. You have to start when people are really just getting into the workforce. And it's also critical for investors, tech investors, startup investors, to educate themselves about the importance of accessibility. And as advocates have said, not to invest in anything that isn't accessible, because a lot of these startups, you know, they roll out products very quickly. And when they roll them out quickly, sometimes they don't think about accessibility. And you have to. That's not something that's just like a nice to have. You have to make your products accessible. And there's really no reason not to do that. Don't you want more users? Don't you want to do the right thing?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's so much here. One of the things that in reading it, I went, oh my goodness, I hadn't even considered this, was as I have very rarely cracked open my door and stepped outside into the world and gone out to places. And I, you know, you look everywhere and you see all these signs and you see these, I was just at the pharmacy the other day and the carpet tiles had been replaced with ones that had arrows on them. And of course, the people, there were some folks in front of me that were not paying any attention to these arrows, but I, you know, saw the arrows and followed the path and, you know, went along or whatever. And then it kind of everybody else that was around me, as I was very deliberately kind of walking along this path that didn't necessarily need to be walked along, people then started to follow that path and, you know, get in the line as it was meant to be, so that it pulled people away from the door, which was the big problem. But you know, I, in thinking about that, you know, I have the grumbles about why are you not following the lines? Why aren't you reading the signs? In reading your piece, there was that realization of, oh, someone with low or no vision who goes to a store and there are all of these signs plastered about, you know, the back door is where you enter, or please don't come in this way, go that way. That was one area that I had not considered needing to be available in some digital form somehow for folks who have low or no vision. And so that was a really eye-opening thing to me. And it made me kind of go, oh man, now I want to, you know, anywhere I'm going, you want to be like, hey, this information is available in a way that, you know, people can get it who don't have that ability to consume it in this way. And so, yeah, I thought that that was a really important point that folks may have not been paying attention to. And so I really like that one. Was there anything else that stuck out to you in particular as kind of an aha moment, or was kind of all of this stuff that you talked about on your radar for accessibility needs?
Well, I also thought that point was really interesting too, because, you know, the solution to that is, you know, wouldn't it be nice if Google or Yelp or whatever, you know, as one of my sources told me, wouldn't it be nice if those platforms informed you that, hey, the back entrance is where you're going to need to go, or, you know, like just all the protocols that different businesses are implementing right now. Wouldn't it be nice to have that the way that you find other information about a business? The other thing that I thought was interesting was that Apple has rolled out a feature called People Detection, which uses LiDAR to essentially sense how close people are to you, so that people who are blind can, you know, maintain a 6-foot distance from the people around them. But those phones are really expensive, and it's the iPhone 12 Pro models. And so you're going to be spending at least $1,000 on those devices. And as one of my sources told me, you know, it may be accessible from an accessibility standpoint, but it's not accessible from a cost standpoint, you know? And so ensuring that it's great, that's a great start, but wouldn't it be incredible if that rolled out on more affordable devices to truly make it accessible to more people?